We are talking about the parables of Jesus, this summer series, and as we begin to talk about the parables, we talked about the kingdom last few weeks, and so this week, it being Communion Sunday, I chose that we would talk about Luke 15. I flipped over. Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. I believe Brian will be back next week, and I think he will pick up with the parable of the lost son. But as we take a minute just to stop and to think about Communion Sunday, folks, it is a time that we come to Jesus. We come to His table. It's not our table. It's God's table. It's Jesus' table. It's a time that He offers to us. If we examine ourselves, He offers to us a time to draw closer to Him than maybe we do on just a normal Sunday when we're not having communion. I don't know about y'all, but I hope each and every one of you, as we taste the bread and the juice or the wine, I hope you feel that presence of the Lord today, because it is so special to be able to be in communion with Him and to know that He has provided this for us as His body and His blood. You know, as we poured the water and we read about where the Pharisees was always complaining to Jesus about eating with the tax collectors and all the sinners and everybody else, folks, we haven't changed a bit. Not one bit has the people changed since that day. And you say, well, Mike, I think we have. You know, I give ourselves credit. We're better than the Pharisees was. And hi, Mr. Bob. I didn't know y'all were here. And Miss Barb. But excuse me there. But we did not recognize the fact today that we all look at people as being in different cliques or different groups or different something. Every one of us kind of look at people that way. And I know it's hard not to sometimes. It's really hard not to. And Jesus would go to where these people, the tax collectors, the sinners, the ones that needed a doctor that we just read about, pouring of the water, the ones that needed a doctor, not physically did they need a doctor, but they needed a doctor spiritually. And folks, this is the people that He really was concerned about. Very much concerned about. You might see my truck sitting somewhere that you'd swear up and down it didn't belong there. I mean, I guarantee you might see it somewhere that you'd just swear, Mike, your truck's sitting here, sitting there. You might see it. You sure might. Because, folks, that's the people that need to hear the word. That's the people that need to be loved on. That's the people that Jesus knew that had a need. They were the ones that needed this doctor. They were the ones that He had the great love for, the desire for in His heart. And that's the ones we should have that great love and desire for. The people that are not in church every Sunday, the people that do not know the Lord, and that's who we should be interested in. And so Jesus, in Luke 15, He says, the tax collectors and the notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain that He was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go in search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So then he goes on and tells the coin about the parable about the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call on in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels, which even one sinner, when even one sinner repents. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, folks, we see that the Pharisees are all tore up because Jesus is eating with the tax collectors. He's eating with, it says, notorious sinners. That means that they're not ashamed of being a sinner right now. They're out there and they're doing things that people are looking at, and they're saying, you don't need to be associating with them people, Jesus, because these were Jews. And what happens when the Jews, they were clean. They done everything in the world to make sure they were clean. They washed a certain way. They done everything before they ate. They did not want to be defiled in any kind of way. And so they're looking at Jesus, and he's just probably like me, walking up and sitting down on a tailgate and eating some crackers and bologna with somebody. And I don't care if I've washed my hands or not. Tammy sometimes looks at me with some hand cleaner, like, you know, it'd be good if you might want a little of this. And I know that I need some, and that's good, because we do share some on occasion, but I'm just good, whatever. It don't really matter. But y'all know me. Y'all know that's good. That's just me. That's the way I am. But they did not like Jesus being this way. They wanted him to be like them. They wanted him to be with the Jews and to be clean and to be spotless in the eyes of all of those religious people. Folks, that's what's wrong with our whole free world today. You expect the preacher or anyone that might be, that you might call of the cloth, to set an example. You better, and he better, because he is set above everyone. He will be held responsible above everyone. But folks, when he's with someone that you know is a sinner, when he's visiting someone that you would not visit, you wouldn't stop and have coffee with, you wouldn't stop and eat a bite with, when he's there, that's when he is doing his work. That's when he's doing his job. And so Jesus is saying, look, folks, if you've got 100 sheep and one gets away from you, who in the world is not going to leave those 99 in that sheepfold and go back and search for that one sheep? Who would not do that? Growing up on a farm, I knew exactly how important it was when you went to feed that evening, maybe dark, maybe right at dark. You better get there where you can count and make sure all the calves are there and all the cows are there. And Ann Wilson does that this every time right now, don't you? You count them cows. That's right. You got to. Because one gets out, she'll spend all night out there looking for it. She doesn't want that calf to get loose and to be gone. It's not the fact that she couldn't live without it. It's the fact that she knows that calf is lost, and she desires to put him back with his mom or put it back in the fold. And this is what Jesus desires for us, folks. When we are lost, when he sees one of us lost, he knows that we're supposed to be in the sheepfold. He knows that we're supposed to be in the pen with the others, and yet we've wandered away. I've done that. I've wandered away, and I've yet been brought back and put back in the fold. You know, God, he is so, so good to us, folks. He is so good to us. Before we ever knew God, God was with us, and he was saying to, you know, old Mike, that dude, he is hard-headed. I mean, he is really hard-headed. And I don't know, maybe, you know, his dad's going to get him turned around and head him in the right direction. But, folks, you've heard me say it a million times. My grandmother said, if I'd been born to anybody except the dad that I had, I would have been living in the pen. all of my life because I was so hard-headed that I would not give in. But he finally turned me around, Hard. You know how that deal goes. And so, you know, he convinced me, you could not live like this, son. You cannot do the things you're doing. And not that he was perfect or anything of that nature, but he did not like anything about the way I done things because I wanted to do them my way. And so Jesus, this is what he was doing with us from the very beginning, folks, just like our parents realized. This boy right here, he's fixing to have some extra discipline. And Jesus realizes that too. He poured his grace out upon us. Jesus is just, guys, I'm speaking to you mainly right this second. He is just like we are with our wives. We love them. And we speak easily to them. And Tammy says I might not, but I do. And baby, you know, I try to talk to her easy. But you know how we do. We woo them. We woo them. And we want them to come and to love us. And we want to be special to them. That's our desire. We desire for them to know that we're their caretakers. That's what we want. God loves us that way, folks. He loves the men and the women the same. He desires for us all to come into the fold. And he desires for us to love him and him to show us that I'm here for you, each and every one of us. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And he woos the women just as us husbands do, our wives and our friends. He wants them to pull closer, and that's how he does. His desire is to bring us back into the fold. He used the example of the coin as well. When a lady got married, the Palestinian women got married, they got 10 coins, 10 silver coins. Instead of getting a wedding ring probably, they got 10 coins handed to them. And those 10 coins were very much they were important because they had lots of different meanings to them. Those 10 coins would have been something that they could have had to keep, put up. That was what they received on their wedding day, and they can tell their kids and their grandkids, here's the 10 coins I received on my wedding day. It also might be that if it become necessary, they had 10 coins to fall back on. And so every one of those coins were very, very important. And when they lost one, it says when they lost one of the ladies lost a coin, she swept the house, she lit a lamp, she's got lights where she can see. And then when she finds the coin, just as when Jesus finds the lost person, he brings that lost person into his fold, into his church. He brings that lost coin and calls all of her neighbors and all of her friends and says, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. But folks, what do as Christians? We bring in someone that's lost. We bring in someone you know that is a notorious sinner. And you bring them into the church on Sunday morning and you think, what in the world is he doing here? That's what we think. You say, well, I don't. Yeah, sure we do. That's the way we think. That's the way our heads run. That's the humanness in us. And so she's lost this coin just as Jesus has lost one of his. And when he comes back home or when he comes into the flock to be a part of that flock, he expects what? He expects us as a church to welcome them, to rejoice, to have a party, just like a wedding party, to have a party for this person because he's come to be in the fold of Christ. But folks, we won't. We'll say it won't last. He won't be here two Sundays. He'll be gone. He's not going to come to church. I guarantee he's not going to come to church. And that's what we talk. That's the talk we have. That's the way we think. That's the way we act. It's not Christian. It's not Christian to act that way. I'm always, because I do it, whatever I'm telling you is because I'm doing it, folks. That's what you always got to remember. I'm always saying to somebody, and I love to aggravate Karen Wilson, I'm always saying to Karen Wilson, is that the Christian attitude, Karen Wilson? And she looks at me like, but that's because I don't have the attitude that I need right at that given moment. So I'm aggravating somebody with that because, folks, I know what it is not to have that attitude. Does everyone here have the Christian attitude 100% of the time? I don't know if a soul here that would say that they had that Christian attitude 100% of the time. So that's what I'm saying. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, folks, look for those that are lost. Bring them into the fold that they might be able to partake of the body and the blood of Christ just like we have. You know, God is so, so good to us, folks. We see Him at work in our lives each and every day. We see Him in everything we do. And I think if you're not seeing God in your life, and you hear me say this a lot, but folks, it's very important. If you're not seeing God in your life, if you're not seeing Him at work in your life, if you're not seeing Him around you each and every day, then you need to stop. You need to stop right where you're at, because you may be the coin that's rolled out the door. You may be the one that someone needs to be looking for. Say, well, Mike, I'm in church every Sunday. I know the deal. Yeah, we know the deal. But we as Christians are the ones that seem to get strayed sometimes. We seem to kind of want to think about what's on the other side of the fence, what's on the other side of the road. And we seem to wander away. Slowly sometimes. Sometimes we just seem to just jump out of the car and on some kind of wild goose chase. Tammy was telling me this morning coming to town that she saw this thing on Facebook. It said God talking about a squirrel. Everybody knows how a squirrel run like this when they run out in front of a car, and you might run over them, you may not. You know, they're fast, so you don't ever know. But one way or the other, folks, that squirrel's going into a ditch. Whether it be on the right side or the left side, he's going into a ditch. And she was telling me that this is the way God looks at our lives sometimes, just like we look at that squirrel. Which ditch you going in, boy? Because you're headed there. It's a matter of whether you go get into the right ditch or the left ditch. You're not going anywhere without getting in one, because you're just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and we're not settled. So you have to stop and think about yourself. So many times, folks, when we are Christians and in church all the time, we see ourselves begin to fade, to jump back and forth, to fade away, to step back away from what all's going on and say, I'll just take a minute. I'll take a minute. You know, probably, to be real honest, if I got to be honest, I got to be honest with you because the Lord already knows. But probably like I was telling Butch this morning, that if it wasn't that I was the preacher, you might not see me every Sunday. You know? That's honesty. You might. You might. But what really would you? You know, you got to be honest with yourself before you can be honest with you. Because I can tell you anything I want to tell you, but God knows. He knows my heart. He knows when I have weak days. He knows when I'm jumping all over the road. He knows when I'm headed in a direction that's not going to be good. And preachers, you see it every day, folks. Preachers are no different than humans. Everybody else, they're human. They are human. Even though they're held to a higher standard and should be. Folks, as we take a look at these parables, and as Brian comes next week to take a look at the lost son, it's going to come a little bit closer to home as we think about the son instead of a sheep or a coin. But Jesus knew that He had to relate to these people on something that they could relate to. And sheep And coins was something they knew all about. And he's just saying, if you're to go treat these sheep and these coins this way, why not treat your fellow neighbor this way? Why not go and find your fellow man when he's lost, when he's stepped away? Hard? Very hard. Very hard. It's like I said last week, it's a price that you pay for being a disciple. If you flip over to the 14th chapter and you read the right where it comes into the 15th chapter, right where we're at, it talks about the cost of being that disciple. There's going to be a cost, folks, just as we've been talking about. But folks, I would be the very, very first to tell you that cost of being a disciple for Christ is worth everything that it will cost you. The peace, the happiness, the just knowing that you have this relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is just so wonderful, folks. It is so wonderful. And it's like I've said a million times, if I'd known this 50 years ago, I would have been, when I was 17-year-old, I would have been living for the Lord a whole lot stronger and a whole lot more than I was, because I knew that the things of this world was fun, and they were a lot of fun, and the people in it was a lot of fun. But I would have known that God overrode everything about this world. The beauty of being a disciple for Christ is worth everything that it would ever cost you. I hope we know that today. Christ knew that as he came to the table that night with the disciples, he knew this was the last time that he would be with the disciples. He knew that this was the last time that he would dine with them. And as he came to that table that night, and you know they were having good fellowship and good times, and they were talking, and he had washed their feet, and the things that they were doing. But folks, always remember, they did not fully understand what was going on that night. It would come to them later exactly what had taken place. But that night, they couldn't really get it fully into their head. And so they were there with Jesus, enjoying the time. And you know, Jesus was concerned about every one of them. Every one of them. He prayed for them. He prayed for you. He prayed for every one of us. And so in his concern, I'm sure, knowing that he's fixing to be betrayed, knowing that what's coming down the pike, he's offering still to the ones that he knew wasn't living exactly like they should. The supper, the bread, the body, and the blood, the wine. Folks, you have to stop and think about that, because he is bringing that personally to those disciples, and he brings it personally to us. He brings it to us on this level that we're sitting here looking at it today. And so as they reclined that day, they were kind of into the talking mode, I'm sure, of dinner that night, and he reaches over and he gets the bread, a loaf of bread, and he breaks it. And then he gives thanks to the Father. Let us give thanks for this bread. And our confession, take a few moments for our own personal confession as we come to the table. And let us think about ourselves. Try not to think about your brother or your neighbor, but think about yourself. Father, we thank you so, so much for your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for having come and been obedient to the Father, lived and died for us, for our sin. And we thank you so much, Jesus, for leaving us with this Last Supper that you instituted that night, your table. We thank you so, so much. We ask now, Father, as we come, that you will make for us this bread and this wine be the body and the blood of Christ. And Father, we just give you praise and glory. Let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, as he had broke the bread that night, and he gave thanks to the Father, and he said, as often as you eat this, do it in remembrance of me. And likewise, he reaches and he gets the cup, and he says, this cup is my blood. It's a new covenant between God and you. The new covenant is sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. If you have your cups ready this morning, you take your bread and your wine. The body broken and given for you. The blood shed for you and for me. Let us give thanks to God. Father, again, we come and thank you so, so much for your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, as we partake in the body and the blood, we just feel your presence over us, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would just forgive each one. We thank you so much for recognizing that we needed a Savior. And you loved us so much that you gave us your Son. We were lost. You searched the world over for us, Father. You found us, you wooed us, and you brought us into your flock. And we thank you and we praise you so, so much. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you do and for all you give, and for the eternal life that we will have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.